As you've probably heard in a good 80% of the Epiphany homilies you've had to sit through the course of your life, the word Epiphany itself means revelation or manifestation. If you think about it, the Christmas story is really a series of several epiphanies, manifestations, revelations, beginning with the angel Gabriel's revelation to Mary, and then the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in no fewer than three dreams. Then, of course, the birth of Jesus being a huge moment of revelation, a great epiphany. Then, of course, the announcement to the shepherds. And the shepherds come to visit Jesus in the manger. And then Jesus is presented in the temple. So there's this epiphany to Simeon and Anna. And of course, today's celebration of the arrival of the Magi, symbolizing that the Christ event, the Christmas event, is revealed to the nations. Not just these wise men that came along, but it's symbolic that the word is getting out to the nations. Now, it's easy to place all of these stories in the category of nice, quaint stories that we learned about when we were real little. Or maybe even to think of them as, you know, neat and amazing things that God did in history. But if we do that, we run the risk of missing the point altogether. Really missing the message that God was trying to give then and now. And what is this message? Well, it's summed up very succinctly in a verse of Scripture that I quote from you from time to time. From the first letter of Paul to Timothy, 2nd chapter, 4th verse. God wills that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. That's the purpose of all of these epiphanies. God wants us to know, he wants the whole world to know, that he wants all people to embrace salvation. And the epiphanies are not just about God letting us know that this is his plan. He's pointing to Jesus. He's bringing Jesus and saying, here is the one who's going to accomplish this. Jesus is the one who's going to bring light to the darkness. He's going to be the one to set the prisoners free. He's going to release those who are bound by the bondage of sin. He's going to bring them a life of grace and new life. That's what all these epiphanies are about. Well, we know very well that if this message is going to get out to the whole world, for everyone to understand this revelation, this manifestation, this epiphany, then we have to speak about our faith. You know, it's true that sometimes actions speak louder than words, but we can never hide behind that as an excuse not to speak about our faith. And, of course, we always have to discern in every situation what to say and if we should say something. But, nonetheless, we have to admit that the bottom line truth is, ultimately, we're going to have to speak about our faith so that people can come to understand what it is that God wants them to know. Not everyone knows that Jesus was sent into the world to save them, so that they could experience eternal life, eternal happiness with God. And so, part of the message of Epiphany is that we are sent into the world to, as it were, continue this process of revelation. I suppose God could make it so that everyone in the world woke up tomorrow morning with infused knowledge that Jesus is the Savior. He's not doing it that way. He's sending you and me into the world to bring that message of truth. But the trouble is that faith and religion in our day and age have become matters of opinion. We treat a person's choice of religion the same way we would treat their choice of what car to drive or what clothing to wear. And indeed, we absolutely respect everyone's freedom to worship and to believe as they see fit. There's no question that we honor everyone's freedom of religion. But that's not the same thing as saying that all religions are equal. Many Catholics have actually adopted that dangerous idea that all religions are equal. Well, if all religions really are equal, then we might as well go home right now. We don't have anything to say. We don't have a message to bring to the world. If everyone is just simply entitled to their own opinions and all those opinions are true. Some people think that's what the ecumenical movement is about. Just acknowledging that everyone has their own beliefs and let's just get along. And getting along is nice. It's nice when we can get along. That's not what ecumenism is really about. True ecumenism means we are all on this journey of life together and we're seeking the truth together. And so, as Vatican II rightly pointed out, every religion in the whole world has at least some element of truth in it. Now, we should use those elements of truth that we hold in common to be the entryway into conversation about those points that we don't hold in common. If we're all seeking truth together and not just sharing opinions, then the light of the Holy Spirit can come and inform us and guide us to a deeper understanding of the truth. I think the first thing we have to do is sort of break free from this idea that our faith is just a matter of opinion. I guarantee you, I would not be standing in front of you today if I thought that Catholicism was just a good theory. I'd be ashamed of myself if I presented all these teachings week after week and I couldn't fall back on the fact that they are true. We believe the teachings of Christ and the Church because they're true, not because they're a good theory or a good opinion. It's a beautiful thing that we can use our minds together with the revelation God has given to understand why all of these teachings are true. We're not asked to just follow in completely blind faith and say, well, I just believe all of this simply because someone else said it's true. No, we can use our minds and arrive logically at the truth of our faith. Some things, yes, we do have to accept through faith, because religion is not just about a logical system, you know, figuring out every mystery of the universe using our brain. We can't do that. We do have to embrace faith. But we have to acknowledge that it is truth that we are seeking, and it's truth that we have been given. It's good for us to understand why it's truth instead of opinion. And we have all kinds of resources at our disposal. We've got books at the entrance of the church. We've got some other books over at the rectory. You're always welcome to come and check out a book. We have so many resources on the internet at our disposal. We have the scriptures. You have a priest who's always here. You can call him up and ask him questions. There's so much out there to help us understand why the teachings of Christ and his church are true. So I encourage you, maybe make it another of your New Year's resolutions. Study, learn, delve into your faith, and understand more and more deeply why it's true and why it, or how and why it differs from what our brothers and sisters believe in other churches. God wants the message to get out into the whole world. That's what Epiphany is about. It's a revelation to all the nations, because God really does want every human being to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. But he's using you and me to help that happen. He's sending you and me to be his agents, his instruments that he wants to use in the world, so that people can come to know him, experience his love and mercy as we have experienced it and continue to experience it. May we have the grace this day to embrace even more deeply and fully the great gift of faith that's been given to each one of us, and to step out with courage to proclaim that faith to the nations.